Good morning to everyone. It is good to see you here. Glad that we have the opportunity that we do to be together. And I know that we're all thankful that we can worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. Certainly, we are saddened by the passing of our loved one, our sister Virginia Green. We know that she lived her life preparing for this time. And so while we are in the midst of sorrow, there is that great hope that we all have. And I'm sure that's why we're all here today. We're preparing for that time when it's our turn to go, or when the Lord may come, whichever comes first. But isn't it wonderful to have that wonderful hope and that promise that's been given to us? And so to the Green family, we do offer our very deepest sympathies, and we want them to know that we love them and that we're thinking of them, and that they will continue to be in our thoughts and prayers, and we'll encourage them all that we can. And we're thankful for the good life that Sister Virginia was able to live and the good example that she set for us all. If you have your Bible with you, I want to encourage you this morning to open it up to Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. That's where we're going to spend our time today. And we're going to talk about the priorities of life. That's what Jesus talks about here in his Sermon on the Mount. And as he does that, he really focuses on two questions. And those are the two questions we're going to deal with this morning. Question number one, where is your heart? Where's your heart? And question number two, who is your master? I'm sure that as those passages were being read for us, those thoughts came to your mind as you thought about the priorities that we are to have in life, that Jesus wants us to have. And so let's begin talking about this idea of, first of all, where is your heart? You see that idea given in verses 19 through 21. Jesus would say, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Notice that last phrase in particular. I imagine that we would all agree with what Jesus has to say there, but most people would say it in a different way. They would reverse those two things. They might say, where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be also. But that's not how Jesus said it. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so where is our treasure? That's what Jesus is asking us to think about. Is our treasure on earth? Is that where we are laying up these things for the future? Is our treasure here upon this earth? You know, most people that live upon this earth have that attitude. That's where they want to set up their treasures. Hoard their treasures. I think a lot of people are just storing up as much stuff as they can, just hoping that the American pickers come by. Because, you know, they're going to be on a fortune then, right? We store up so much stuff, we don't have places to store it all. I kind of hate that I missed this opportunity several years ago. I remember seeing those storage units going up, and I thought, what would those things be for? Surely that's not going to be a big industry. Boy, was I wrong. I mean, people just, and I'm not saying it's wrong to have a storage unit. Sometimes you need those things. But a lot of people store things in those things and never use them. And just keep storing. There's even a television show, isn't it called Hoarders? You just can't even get through the house because of all the stuff that people hold on to. There is a very powerful temptation to lay up treasure here
upon this earth. People think that that's what life is all about. I remember several years ago, I was watching a golf tournament, and it was right at the end. And this fellow, it happened to be Jim Furyk, if you're familiar with him, but he was getting ready to make a putt. He'd already sewed up the tournament, but he had to make the final putt. And so he's getting ready to putt, and my wife came in, and she said, "Oh, he's ugly." And I said, "Well, if he makes this putt, he gets $1 million. He made the putt." And she said, "Well, he's not that bad." Well, you know, a lot of times people are that way. I asked her a long time ago, I said, "Tammy, would you have married me if my dad had not given me all that money?" She said, "Tim, I would have married you no matter who gave you all that money." You know, a lot of people think that that's what life is all about. In Luke chapter 12, there was a man who came to Jesus, and he says to him, "Make my brother divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus responds by saying, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth." But we look at our world, and we see that so often that is the measure of a man. How much is he worth? That's what people want to know. And so they store up their treasures here upon the earth. But what we've got to realize, and Jesus makes this very clear to us, he's going to tell us that all material things can be lost. What he says is that they can corrode. They can corrupt. Your garments can be moth-eaten. Folks, that's the way they judged wealth back then. In garments, in gold and in silver, in livestock. And so these things, they can vanish away. They don't last forever. I think about our situation, and most of us here drove here today. And out in our parking lot are these nice cars, these nice vehicles, and we pay a nice price for them, and we try and keep them nice. But where are they going to be 15 or 20 years from now? Now, there might be some of them that are still around. You might be someone who takes such excellent care of a vehicle that it lasts that long. I don't know. Maybe you're one who keeps them around long enough that they, you know, become an antique and that kind of thing. But most of them are going to be scrap. They might be in another vehicle or in a building or whatever else it may be. But I think a good field trip for us as Christians every now and then is just to go to the dump and to see all the things that were yesterday's treasures. Think about all the money that was spent, and here's where it ends up. The things of this world don't last. And riches, the book of Proverbs tells us, they make wings and fly away. They don't last. They can be taken from us. Jesus even mentioned those that would break. He didn't say break in. He said break through. They had dirt houses, straw houses. It's easier to break through the wall than it was to bust down the door. And so he'd break through and get those things. We need to know that the things of this earth, those things that we consider treasures, they just don't last. They're not meant to. Think about how easy it is for those things to vanish away. Natural catastrophes that come, part of living upon this earth, tornado or hurricane or a mudslide or an earthquake or whatever it may be, flood. And all those things that were our treasures are gone, or they're ruined. Or how about war? What if that happens in the land? Those things can be destroyed in the blink of an eye. And so Jesus says, don't lay up your treasures here. But again, I know that's the way a lot of people want to live their lives. Anybody remember this song? Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. But You remember this? The words? The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and the bees. I want money. That's what I want. Your love gives me such a thrill, but your love won't pay my bills. I want money. Money don't get everything, it's true. What it don't get, I can't use. I want money. And that's the way a lot of people live their lives. Laying up treasure here upon this earth. Understand, material things do not bring peace and happiness. We think they do. You ever play that game, I'll be happy if, or I'll be happy when? I'd be so happy if I got a car. I'd be so happy if I could put a stereo in that car. I'd be happy with a new car. I'd be happy with a house. I'll be happy when we can remodel this house. I'll be happy. And you just keep going and going. Someone made this statement, and I tend to agree with it. He said, I can't think of anything that brings as much joy owning it as the thought of owning it did. You think about that. We get excited about the idea of getting something, but once we have it, really, we're on to the next thing. You ever done this? You get something, and before you have it paid off, you already want something else. We're like that because things don't bring the happiness that they promise us. It just doesn't work that way. I want you to notice some of these quotes from some of the richest people in American history. John D. Rockefeller said, I have made millions, but they have brought me no happiness. W.H. Vanderbilt said, the care of $200 million is enough to kill anyone. There is no pleasure in it. And I know you look at something like that, and if you're like me, you're thinking, yeah, but I'd like to try. I'd like to try, but these are people who had it, and that's what they're telling us from their experiences. Henry Ford said, I was happier when doing a mechanic's job. And then Andrew Carnegie said, millionaires seldom smile. Folks, that ought to tell us something. That's not what life is all about. And again, we ask the question, where is your treasure? It's not to be here upon the earth. We need to ask, is our treasure in heaven? And that's where Jesus said we are to lay up treasure. No moths can damage it there. There's no corrosion, no rust, and nobody can steal it. Every Christian here ought to rejoice in knowing that our treasure is in heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4, Peter writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Where's your treasure? For the Christian, we need to be able to say, it is in heaven. And that's where we are laying up treasure, in that heavenly home. I hope that we all realize there are things that are far more valuable than money. There truly are. There are things money can't buy. Look at a few of these ideas that are given to us in God's Word. First of all, the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not, the writer of Proverbs tells us. The truth is something that's far more valuable than money. Jesus would say God's word is truth. And so when we talk about the truth that can set us free, John 8 and verse 32, it is so precious. What about this idea? Our spiritual blessings. You can't buy them with money. But in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, we're reminded, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. every spiritual blessing, the forgiveness of our sins, our redemption, being made members of the family of God, the privileges of being the children of God, being the heirs of God, the heirs of salvation, all of these and more are found in Christ. Every spiritual blessing, far more valuable than money. How about the church? Look at how valuable the church is in Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He purchased the church with his own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. He paid the ultimate price. The church is far more valuable than any money. Or how about this? Your very soul. Jesus would say in Matthew 16 and verse 26, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole earth, a whole world, and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Money can't buy that salvation. We have one soul, and it is of greater value than all the things of this earth combined. And then you consider the souls of others. James 5 and verses 19 and 20, James writes, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." Folks, there are things that are far more valuable than money. We're not to lay up our treasures here upon earth. We're to lay up treasure in heaven. They can't be stolen, they can't be taken, and they won't rust or corrode. They won't go away. Jesus would teach us also that we cannot take it with us, but we can send it ahead. I remember hearing a story about the accountant of John Rockefeller. People were wondering how much he had left. And so someone went up to his accountant and asked, "How much did he leave behind?" And the accountant didn't miss a beat. He said, "All of it." He left all of it. Because we can't take it with us. But Jesus does teach us that you can send it ahead. That you can lay up in store. That you can lay up treasure in heaven. How do you do that? How do you lay up treasure in heaven? Well, there are a lot of ways. One way is by practicing righteousness, doing good for others. Jesus said that even a drink of water that you give to another in his name will be given to your account. And so the very smallest of deeds can lay up treasure in heaven. How about by winning souls? What a wonderful way of laying up treasure in heaven. And probably the most obvious way when you think about something like this is the idea of simply our giving. A few moments ago, we had the opportunity to give back to the Lord. The Lord loves a cheerful giver, gracious givers. We're to give as we've been prospered. The church here has a weekly budget. Folks, we've not been meeting that budget. We need to think about our giving and laying up in store. Giving on a regular basis. You know, the work of the church here is planned on meeting that budget. And if that budget isn't met, there may be works that go unfunded, that go undone. Malachi asked the question, "Will a man rob God?" Do you know the answer? Yes, he will. You give him the chance, he will. He thinks he can get away with it, he will. Israel did it. They tried to rob God. And man, the day will. Oh, you know, I'm on vacation, so I don't have to give, right? I'm on vacation. No. Leave your money. Give double when you get back. We're not on vacation. We don't get vacation from God. Does he stop giving us blessings? Lay up treasure in heaven. Now, again, that's just one way. And I'm not a person who talks a great deal about money. I have never been asked by any congregation, could you count the offering today? They never ask the preacher to do that. And you know what? I'm glad. I'm glad. I don't need to do that. I don't need to know how much any individual gives. That's not up to me. That's between them and the Lord. All I'm saying is I want us all to examine ourselves and think about the idea of laying up treasure in heaven. Where is your treasure? Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's question number one. Here's question number two. Who is your master? Who is your master? As you think about these priorities for our lives, who is our master? Look at verses 22 and 23. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, that may be a little bit difficult for us to comprehend at first, but really, all that Jesus is trying to teach us is we need to have a single focus as we go through life. The light of the eye. In the eye, a marvel. It's just incredible the way that God created our vision. It can do so many different things, unless there's a problem. And when there's a problem, that vision can become blurred, or it can deceive us. We may see double or triple, or we may not see at all. And that's what he's talking about when the eye becomes evil, how great that darkness may be. We have a brother who is studying to be an eye doctor, Kyle. And if you have any questions about eyes, just go see him. He'll help you out. But it's just amazing what the eye can do. But one thing the eye cannot do is focus on two things at one time. You just can't do that. And so our focus needs to be on serving the Lord. Singleness in purpose. We all know the answer to this question, why are we here? And I'm not talking about in this building this morning, but I mean upon this earth. Why are we here, Christians? We're here to serve God, aren't we? To fear God and keep His commandments. To walk in His ways. To give honor and glory unto Him. He created us for that purpose. And we need to make sure that that is our focus. We cannot focus on two things at one time. I mentioned that, but you try this with me, all right? Now, I know that when I ask people to do this, you're hesitant to, but just do it, all right? Because everybody around you is going to do it. Everybody hold your finger up like this, all right? Just hold your finger up. Everybody's not doing it. Some of you said, I'm not doing it no matter what he says. All right, just hold. Now, here's what I want you to do. Look at the back of your finger. Not at me. Just look at the back of your finger. Not at me. Don't look at me. Shirley, don't look at me. Look at the back of your finger. All right. Now, keep doing that. Keep doing it. Don't change. Keep looking at your finger. How many fingers do I have up? Don't look at me. Don't look at me. Okay, now you can stop. How many do I have? I got three. It's easy now, but not when you're looking at the back of your finger. Now, some of you are going to say, oh, I could tell. All you're doing is saying you're a lizard, if you can tell. Because you can't, a lizard can focus on two things at once, but we can't. That's not the kind of vision that God has given us. Now, you can do it just in an instant, but not at the same time. And we need to make sure that we keep our focus on one thing, and that is serving our Lord. Who's our master? It is our God. Matthew 6 and verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And by the days of Jesus, mammon meant money. It meant wealth. It meant material things. And what he's saying is you cannot serve two masters. And so really the question is being asked, who is your master? Make sure that it's God, that it's the Lord, not material things. The Bible talks to us a great deal about material things, and it warns of its dangers. It tells us materialism will distract us from our central purpose. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 19, when Jesus was explaining the parable of the sower, there was the seed that fell among the thorns. Here's what he says those thorns are. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Those material things, if we don't keep the right attitude toward them, will distract us from our purpose of serving our Lord. And so we need to be vigilant. Notice this, materialism brings unhappiness and worry. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 12, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. The more you have, the more you're tempted to fear the loss of those things. Oh, what if the stock market crashes? You know, what if we don't get this job, or what if the bank comes and takes my, and you know, we get so much. And you know, the more you have, the more time and energy and attention you have to give to those things. Now, folks, I'm not saying it's wrong to have things. It's part of life. You have to have some things to live upon this earth. But when we become materialistic and think that's what life is all about, it'll keep you from being able to sleep, having a good night of rest, because worry will consume us. And he also warns us that materialism ends in futility. We talked about it already. You don't get to take it with you. But I came across this story. A lady by the name of Rose Greenhow, she happened to be a spy for the Confederates during the Civil War. She was trying to make her getaway, and to hide her riches, she sewed the gold that she had into her hem, the seam of her garment. She got on a ship, and that ship sank. And her life preserver was not able to hold her up. She drowned because of the gold that was in the hem of her garment. And then somebody said this, we can't take it with us, but sometimes it can take it or us with it. And that's so true. Do you realize that Jesus had more to say about money than he did about baptism? He did. He understood what a problem it can be for us. What a temptation it can be to allow it to become our master instead of serving God. And so we're reminded of these things. Now, well, listen, money has its place. I'm not here to badmouth money. We need to have the proper attitude toward it, but it has its place and it can do some wonderful things. We can meet our needs, and we can provide for our family, even extended family, and we have to do that. Paul would write to Timothy and say, if we don't do that, we're worse than an infidel, worse than an unbeliever. And so money can do that. It can provide for the future. Is it wrong to plan for retirement or for the future? Well, Joseph laid by in store, and all Egypt was able to survive. even those in the land of Canaan, the Israelites, were able to survive. The problem is that so often people plan for the future, but they're not rich toward God. It helps us to help others, and we're commanded to do that, folks. We're to be using money to the glory of God. And that's the key, having the right attitude toward it and toward material things, and use what has been given to us to bring honor to Him. You have money? Help others. You have a home? Open it up. Be hospitable. You have a vehicle? Help others get around. Go to places to share the gospel. Use what we've been given to the glory of God. Money is a wonderful servant, but a terrible master. How true that is. And so we're reminded this morning about these priorities of life. And these two questions: where is your heart? It's where our treasure is. Are we laying up treasure here upon the earth, or is that treasure in heaven? Where's your heart? And who's your master? You can't serve two. Our focus can only be on one. Who's your master? I want to close our lesson this morning by just sharing one more story with you. It had to do with a very wealthy individual who had a party. And at that party, he had some of the men that were there go up to his observation deck. He had a house that was so big, he had an observation deck. And he got them all up there, and he said to them, "Look all around you. I mean north, south, east, west, as far as you can see, I own that property." And they all looked around and were so impressed. One of them looked at him and said, "How much do you own in that direction?" Well, folks, let me ask you, how much do we have in that direction? Where's our treasure? Where is our heart? And if we can't say that inheritance is waiting for us in heaven, then let's change that. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, take that step today. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If you have, but you have fallen away from the Lord, maybe you've been struggling with some of the things we talked about this morning.